Let's talk tourism right now. At the moment, the only place you can travel to is really right here in New South Wales. And that's not a bad thing. We have so many amazing places to visit and things to see. So how much thought goes into designing your community for tourists? Jordan Silver has been looking at this for your monthly look at all things urban design. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, Kia. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Let's start with big things, because they might be the first thing that pops to mind. Why are these so popular?
I think there's a lot of these in our sort of collective minds, whether it's the big banana up in Coffs, or, you know, the big pineapple up in Queensland, or the big whatever, really. In researching for this, I actually noticed how many, there's over 100 of them scattered around the country, and some of them are pretty cool, and some of them are pretty questionable. Have you seen many of them on your trip?
I've seen a lot. It is on my husband's bucket list to see all the big items of Australia.
Well, clear your schedule, you know?
Right, exactly. So I've done the banana, I've done the prawn, I've done the kookaburra, I've done the merino.
Apparently the potato is one to miss.
I've done that. I used to live near the potato. I'd drive past the big potato every time we were going to swimming lessons on a Saturday morning. Right. So the potato is on there. I'd love to get out and see the bench in Broken Hill.
I like the look of the bench too.
Yeah. I'd love to get out and see the bench. But apparently sometime in my life, if I will see all of them.
Challenge.
If he gets his way.
Challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice. I've been thinking about these a bit lately. Partly because there's such a focus on kind of domestic tourism at the moment with international borders closed. And when you think about domestic tourism in Australia, whether it's fortunately or unfortunately, these kind of big oversized mascots come to mind.
Yeah.
And they were a phenomenon that sort of started, you know, way back in the 60s, which was kind of on the back of a lot of the American sort of roadside architecture and attractions following the popular sort of taking out of the motor car.
Mm.
And when it made its way to Australia, you know, it did in the form of these big oversized items, which we see as these kind of big cartoony sort of kitschy things at the moment. You know, some of them are really cherished. But at the time they were, you know, they were a genuine attempt to create a kind of mascot or a flagship for an area, express the local industry, whether it was wool, you know, through the merino sheep or macadamia nuts or, you know, whatever it was.
Mm.
But they were like a sincere attempt to get travellers to stop, spend some money in local, you know, eateries, vendors, and what have you, and stop, revive, and survive as well, to make things a bit safer on the roads.
Yeah, and it's not just the 70s, because we're still sort of building them out in Ningen. The Big Bogan is a new attraction, you know. So we are still seeing it as a way to bring people in.
Totally. So there's definitely. There's a few still being built. There's still the sort of tradition being kept alive. And then there's also the sort of mammoth task of the ongoing maintenance and, you know, taking care of the ones that have been built. A lot of them are decaying, basically, or falling apart. They're made pretty cheaply a lot of the time. They're made out of kind of materials that tend to fall apart over time. And they can become a little bit of a burden on the local community, because obviously what you don't want is people driving through your area and seeing a big, you know, a big decaying structure that just sort of screams, well, we don't take care of, you know, the objects in our built environment. But at the same time, someone's got to pay for them and someone has to maintain them.
Yeah. If it's not a big thing, are we good at harnessing, you know, we're hearing a lot of people this morning say, just get out into some of our more natural areas, from hot springs to national parks. Are we good at building things, designing things so that nature can be experienced?
Totally. So I'm all for that. And I think most people these days, when you ask them, you know, as we were just hearing from your listeners, you know, where should I go as a tourist around your local area or your local region? Most people point towards natural landscapes and scenery that they hold dear. And our natural landscapes are really important for us as Australians. They're a big part of our sort of collective identity. So what I'm sort of interested in is how architecture, you know, small interventions of architecture can be used to enhance those natural landscapes and create an experience of them that is, yeah, heightened, but it's about the landscape itself. The architecture sort of just plays a role in framing it or setting up a particular view or something like that, as opposed to this sort of more dated way of creating a tourist attraction, which is more of a kind of, hey, look at me, you know, almost like a bit of a tongue-in-cheek kind of way of doing things.
Yeah, and that can be as simple as a toilet block, which I'm surprising myself by saying that, Jordan.
No, I totally can. You know, there's this question that pops up, which is kind of like, okay, so where in the world have people used architecture in this way to facilitate tourism, but also boost local economy and add to the kind of the character of a place? So there's this project that happened or is still happening in Norway called the 18 Scenic Routes, and that's been an initiative from the Norwegian government where, exactly as we're discussing, they've basically implemented a series of small architectural installations. Sometimes they're as modest as a little lookout. Sometimes they're as modest as literally like a pathway in a carefully placed seating area or bench. Sometimes they're a toilet block, as you said. But what they've done is they've kind of picked these beautiful locations or perfect locations along there. You know, Norway's got this amazing fjord coastline. Mm. And they've implemented 18 of them, hence the name. And each time that they've implemented one in a local region, they've worked with the local council and they've nominated or selected a, most of the time, local architect, but sometimes international architect, to come in, understand the beauty of the place in particular, and come up with a very modest but very careful and carefully and thoughtfully designed piece of architecture to capture and enhance that sort of context.
Are we good at doing this in New South Wales? Do you think this is the future, is those smaller things, those smaller architectural draw cards?
Personally, I think we're great at it in New South Wales. At the very least, these types of buildings, you know, small toilet blocks, as we've discussed before, little interventions, I'd say that New South Wales, especially in our big cities, you know, we're up there with the best of them around the world at doing these small buildings. In fact, you could even argue that we are sort of the best. Mm. You know, we just have such an amazing collection of these small buildings scattered around our urban centres. Where we haven't maybe done the best job of implementing them is in our regions. So I would say that there's a real need to harness the sort of potential and power of these small architectural installations in order to make a massive impact for our sort of domestic and global tourism, but also make a genuine impact to the kind of local communities of those areas, you know, providing them amenity, but also providing them something that's kind of emblematic of that context.
Straight away, I'm thinking of the Drive Out West, and I'm like, if there were more toilet blocks, I would be much happier.
Yeah, for sure. More toilet blocks or more, you know, more lookouts. You know, there's dramatic landscapes that aren't just coastal in New South Wales, but that aren't really known as well as they could and will be, I believe. And it's architecture can play a really great role in activating our understanding and appreciation of those landscapes, which feeds into our collective appreciation of the natural world, our likelihood to sort of care more about our environment and all these sorts of things, you know.
Even if they're, like, we were hearing from someone earlier who was saying that they marked a little bit of their local community, Benalbo, on the north coast, a small community's history for working dogs with just that small working dog statue. You know, like even just those sort of things, not big things, little things that tell a story very quickly as you arrive in town make such a difference to a personal experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally agree.
We are getting so many amazing things. I think you and I are going to have to go on a road trip together, Jordan, around New South Wales.
Down.
All right, beautiful. All right, well, let's plan after this. Thank you so much. Really great to have this conversation with you this morning.
No worries. Great talking to you.
That's your regular guest here on ABC Newcastle and New South Wales Mornings, Jordan Silver, talking all things urban design, especially when it comes to that little bit of a tourism focus.